Karolina Marciszewska, Radio Centrum, and my guest, Łukasz Róg.
Hi, guys.
I'm thinking that you are the biggest dreamer in Rzeszów, and I think that also you are the luckiest man in here. How did it happen that you are making an American-style movie in a quite small city in Poland? And do you consider yourself as the luckiest man in Rzeszów?
So actually, I don't know yet if I'm the luckiest one, but it's a dream right now, you know? It was a dream and it still is, and hope it's just the beginning. So actually, it like all started, I think, 12 years ago. I don't know if I can say like I'm the professional filmmaker right now, because I'm not actually. I'm doing all of this because my heart is telling me that, so that's why. I'm not a filmmaker if it goes to making movies, profession, something like that. I always had this, that when I listen to music, I just see things, you know. I see images all the time. It's just like 3 seconds and I can see the picture, can see the image. Since the very beginning, since I was like a kid, you know, waiting in a store for a lollipop and, you know, some song was on and I was like, all right, this should be the video clip, you know, music video. So I was actually always imagining that kind of stuff, but I was thinking like my whole life that everyone has that. Everyone had like, all right, we can just imagine, you know, it's just you hear and you see. So I'm an IT guy if it goes to my profession, so it was very easy to me to start edit some stuff. How it all started, I was doing like, let's say there was like a music video of my favorite band or something like that, and I loved the song, but I didn't like the video clip. The clip, right? So I was actually doing things like I was downloading the video and rearranging it on my own, maybe different thoughts, different shots, like making to look different. And I was just, it was like a garage thing, you know. I was never a social media guy. I've never posted this. I was just doing this just for me, never for more. And then like 12 years ago, there was this Euro 2012 football, soccer. And I did this, I don't know how to even say it, this inspiring movie, or, you know, I've downloaded the matches, I've cut 3 matches, make this like 2-minute short video about Polish national team because we needed to win the last game to go to the knockout stage. Of course we didn't, you know, it's like with Polish football, but so I did this, and I just, not even my own, because I was having this life that time. I think I was at marketing, and my friend was working with me, and he actually like posted online. He threw it to YouTube, and it hit like millions of viewers. And then there was this head of Warsaw Film School guy who just threw. Wyborcza, it's a big newspaper in Poland. They were like searching for the guy who made this movie, because if he can like inspire so many people, then he probably can do movies, right? And I had this, I don't even remember, this crazy nickname, like probably Maverick. I think it was Maverick, you know, because of my love for American movies. So in this article, they were like saying, hey, we are giving this scholarship for you. Just come and see us. So I went there. I've never told them that I'm the one. I just, you know, because you could have this for the first 2 weeks of when the school starts.
Semester.
Yeah, semester. You can just go on your own and listen. Just watch and listen. So I went there on my own. I've never said that I was the one. But after 2 days, I thought to myself, no, this is not for me. Actually, many things happened. I was like, I think 2-3 years after my studies, I just wanted to make business, to earn money, you know. I was never thinking like the way I should, you know, do movies or something like that. So
be an artist,
actually. And they are like now saying that I should go back to school and study for 5 more years. No way, right? So I've quit this. I just leave it and forget. I was doing all the time that kind of stuff, actually, like, you know, this garage movies of mine. So another 4 years happened, and another Euro came, Euro 2016, and actually it was pretty successful for Polish national team. So we've advanced to knockout stage, and I did the same. I think I was actually, it wasn't also the aim, I will do the same movie. No, because I wasn't even thinking this way. I remember I came back from party, you know, like 5 a.m. in the morning, and I just, because I've heard some music, like this was like this 20 seconds of music, I think I was driving back home, taxi, and I was like, oh shit, this works, you know. And so I've downloaded matches, of course, like stole the footage.
So it was the song that inspired you.
Yeah, exactly. The song inspired me. And I did this like in 2 hours. I had not official one, but I had some like Facebook account, you know, with just my friends. And I throw it like for them. And I went to sleep. 7 a.m. I went to sleep. So I was sleeping half a day. And then it was like first time in my life. I wake up. It was like almost evening. Then it happened that, let's say, at that time, the CEO, the president of Polish national team and the whole, you know, community, Zbigniew Boniek, just like he liked the movie, you know, because my friends, at, when I was sleeping, they liked it so much that they were throwing like, let's go, let's go, let's go.
So
they
it
were
was
just
like a wave.
Yeah, like it went like a wave, and probably some Polish players also saw it, and this Zbigniew Boniek also saw it, and he just, you know, streamed it on his accounts like Facebook and Twitter. And then I think it was the next day in the morning, Polish president Andrzej Duda at the time did the same on his official account of Poland. You know, he just wrote something like that. I just love it. This is just enjoy the moment. And this is the clip that you should all watch. And this was like really millions of views on my Facebook account, an official Facebook account, because I wasn't like, this wasn't me. But this was the first time in my life I thought like, maybe I should do something with it. You know, maybe this is it, right? So then, destiny was calling. And then Monday happened. Like the third day, I was like, all right, let's do this shit, you know? And I've received the warning from, at the time, one of the biggest Polish TV stations that I stole the footage. They've like banned me for YouTube, Facebook. I just got canceled, you know? Just like all of the streams, everything went like gone. Because, you know, I was downloading the matches. You cannot do it different way. It's just, it wasn't made for earning money or just fame. So, and then like after 3 days, the whole dream disappeared. So it's like, oh no, here we go again. So yeah, I've started this official account, but I was never like into it. But after that, I've started to do different kind of jobs also, because I was like, you know, doing the business stuff on my own. But then I've did pretty big commercial for Red Bull. Just happened, you know, we just connected. I don't even remember how. Also to Dodge in America, to Monster Energy. I've did some, I think, music video from Bring Me the Horizon also. So there was like pretty big things coming, but I was, believe it or not, but I was just doing this for fun. Nothing professional, you know. And then when I've won pretty big contest in Los Angeles. Actually, it was in Hollywood. It's just a coincidence because the Hollywood is the company address that they have the office. I've won this pretty big contest for a commercial. They offered me 3-year contract for work there. But then just in the same second that I've received this offer, I just knew that I cannot do commercial. I've never wanted to do commercial. Of course, I can do incredible commercial. Like let's say when you do Red Bull, it's super cool, you know, flying cars, bikes, helicopters, like Michael Bay style, yeah? So this is super cool. But I cannot do like butter or a water. I cannot do that kind of commercial. So I was never into that. But then, because I'm a sci-fi guy, you know, I've probably read all of the sci-fi books on this planet. And I actually never liked a lot Polish cinema. And I'm in love if it goes to America's cinematography. So I always wanted to make a movie that it will be, let's say, similar to Hollywood way of thinking, way of showing images, you know? And I was very, very in a dark place if it goes to music that time. No, I wasn't like sick or something like that, but I was very into dark, dark ambient music that time. And that kind of images just was appearing to me for months and months. And I started to make a story out of it and decided I will probably shoot a movie here in Rzeszów and try to make something. Of course, I never even knew how to do it because I was just the editor and I've never like even practiced with camera. I wasn't even aware what's like the 1.4, like 2.2 in lenses, what's like the focal length, bokeh, what's ISO, none.
Or some names.
Exactly, like, shots. Yeah. So I was like totally green this, and I was just started to study YouTube tutorials every day for probably a year from the very beginning. What camera, of course, like cheap one, right? Didn't have budget. So like what types of cheap camera, cheap lens, cheap mic you can buy that actually at least look at least some cinematic. I was doing this for a year, and when I was, let's say, ready, I've started to search for people here also in Rzeszów. So this is the problem, because this is a small city. It's great, but it's small. And we don't have any film industry, just like zero. We have like two theaters, so it's all right, but still it's not much. But then thank God we have like some theater actors. And I just came to this girl, Magdalena Kozikowska-Pienko, and asked her if she could just star in my movie. It's also a long story, because this is like, hey, but who are you? Like, in very short version, she asked questions. I actually couldn't answer. I was like, no, I'm not a pro. I just know how I want to capture it. I don't have a script. I won't have a script. I just have images. I will tell you what we can do together, and that's it. And then I will edit, and it will blow your mind. And because she's that kind of incredible person, she just simply believed, and she said, all right, I will do this with you, you crazy someone and dreamer. And so I've also invited friends of mine, you know, because this was the story of a girl who from Special Forces, so you needed to have like a lot of another Special Forces guys. And we did this movie summer, a lot of things happened.
And you did it by yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, with your own money?
Yeah, I was the only guy in the crew, right? So I was the camera guy, sound guy, costume guy,
editor.
So I was on my own. And when you are doing like film on your own, let's say in a flat, in a house, it's supposed to be easy. Like, oh, it's much easier because you can, let's say, switch on the light, do this, do that. But we were just shooting outdoors, running with guns through the city, and also chasing cars. So, and there was even a helicopter, you know. So I don't know why. Probably because of this love for this American cinema. I just wanted this Michael Bay picture, you know. And but in this, of course, way of Michael Mann is showing the world, because this is like Denis Villeneuve, Michael Mann, and Chris Nolan. This very, very dark style of cinematography for me always was this very, very dark. So yeah, my number one movie is Top Gun, but if it goes to filming, I would stick with probably Miami Vice, the last one, you know, Miami Vice with Colin Farrell, Jamie Foxx. This is the way of filming, the way of camera shots I just love. So like Drive with Gosling, Sicario, something like that. So this was what we're trying to achieve. And you know, I think it was supposed to be 5 minutes short, like 5 minutes. Maybe I will show it to someone, maybe someone will like it, maybe some kind of festival will just run it. But then after shooting, I've just started to editing it. It actually was like about an hour after actually having fun with camera. So I thought to myself, what if I would just make it bigger, you know? But of course I've cut it. I've did 39 minutes because 40 was this sweet spot that you cannot do further, because it was like this short film festivals. There was just max 40 minutes. So I did this 39, and right now when I'm watching it, it's too long. It's still too long. Yeah. But that time it was for me going this images with the music that I've loved. It was like, yeah, this is it. Let's keep it this way. So I've sent it via this big portal, Film Freeway, that you just hit like thousands of film festivals. And I don't know why, I don't know how it happened, but it won a lot of small awards, you know, small film festivals, but it did, you know. And then one of the biggest cinemas in Poland, Helios, just appeared, and we did this incredible premiere. We've sold all the tickets, and me at this stage, I just knew that this is my life right now. I just need to do it. I cannot sleep, and I cannot eat, I cannot think about doing different way of living. Just I needed to have that kind of, because since that time I had like two extra movies almost in my mind that I wanted to do it, full-length movies. And also from the very beginning I knew that this story must be told once again very more professional way as a full feature movie. So I decided to like quit everything, quit my life, quit my business life. I've sold two companies of mine. It wasn't big, so not like I'm a millionaire, you know. So no, it was small companies, but the deal was that I cannot go just to work. This was my, let's say I have money for max 2 years of living, like on this normal basic, and then we will see. All the cards on the table, and if you won't make it, man, you won't have anything to eat. And I have a family to feed, you know, two small kids, so it's a pretty risky challenge. So after this movie, I've decided to go full throttle. I've sold almost everything I had, yeah, a lot of things, and we've bought some equipment, and we've decided that we are going one more time with this movie.
But it also
happened that you met people who actually invest in you.
Yeah, but it was just after. Actually, after, let's say, this local, but still a success of No Stars Anymore, because this was the short title. I've created this zero budget movies. It was supposed to be a project, you know, you come, you go, you make movies with me with no money. So 11 people happened. They've joined the group and we decided that next summer we are shooting one more time this movie. More professional way, still not a super professional way, but more professional way. And 2 weeks before the start of the shooting, I've met the guy, one of the biggest businessmen in Rzeszów, Rafał Kalisz. We've met by accident, because actually I was supposed to make this inspiring movie for, because he's also the owner of the Rzeszów football team, Stal Rzeszów, and I was a player, you know, 20 years ago of this team, and I, right now, I like what I see if it goes what they are making with this team, and I wanted to create this 5 minutes small inspiring story movie about them for free, just, you know, please let me in into the stadium, just behind the scenes, and I will create something magic for you. Yeah, and my friend actually just out of the blue came from this. Oh, so I know the owner. So maybe one day you will meet. Actually, next day I received the call. So I decided to just to propose to the owner of the team that I will create this 5 minute video about this football team of his. But if it goes to like me filming and doing it, it's just, yeah, it will be for free. But this is just one version. I cannot change it. So I've showed him the footage that I've did for, actually I've once did this American football team, some kind of video. And I told him, I will do this that kind of way. If you like it, I will do it. If you don't like it, I'm gone. He watched it and said, I love it. Let's do it. And it was supposed to be like this, nothing more. And he's like a very, very busy guy. So just he had 5 minutes for me. But then actually someone canceled the meeting. I was just about to leave the office. And he's, oh, look, I've got like 10 minutes more. So sit, maybe just one more coffee and just let's talk. And what are you doing in life? You know, who are you? Like, yeah, just talk. So I told him, look, I've did this short. Right now I'm quitting my life. I've sold everything. And in 2 weeks, I'm starting to do this No Stars Anymore more professionally. And just out of nowhere, he just said, hey, so maybe let's do it together. I will just help you, but let's do it professional way. Hire the crew, buy this equipment. Of course, still, if it goes to our reality, not like, oh, I will give you like $25 million and let's party, you know. No, it was just, of course, this, let's say, in Polish way of just calculate it wisely. And this is how we started. We've created this company, Lucra Films. Lucra is just from Luke, like Lucas and Rafa. This is the history, you know. We've bought equipment, we've canceled that project, and we decided to go full throttle. And pretty incredible things happen. We've just announced that actors casting for the movie, right? And almost 8,000 actors from all around the world, because we always wanted to have this movie in English language. Even though we have great Polish actors, but still I needed to have this original English. We needed to have this authenticity that he or she, they are just from that part of the world. So we always wanted to have international cast, but still, you know, I'm not like saying the same. A filmmaker, a big director with the name, you know, no one knows actually outside Poland and who am I? And our budget wasn't also big bucks, so we cannot just call, I don't know, Orlando Bloom and say, hey, I will give you like 10 mil and let's go, right? No. So our budget was also short if it goes to cast. So that kind of big number that appeared if it goes to casting, people that applied, we were blown away. But from the very beginning, I knew what I wanted to achieve with this movie, what kind of actors I was searching for. Really, I did this homework, almost 8,000 actors. I've watched them all. I've saw most of their work, because not many were like this first page superstar actors. Still, some of that game's name appeared, but I also know that that kind of big names cost a lot. So yeah, I can dream, but come on, right? But I was searching also for something very unique. You know what the problem was when I had this audition and I did this 8,000 actors? So I've watched them all, and about 6,000 was great. They know how to play. So you have the 6,000, 2000 and what's next? And then you search, just, all right, I like that guy, I like this girl, and then you watch more. Then you watch the showreel, then you watch the footage. If you are lucky, and they were lucky, like, have big roles in their movies. And then you watch, and of course you have this something, let's say, for the main character. Let's say I would like to see that kind of person. So you are probably matching with your own head that I like that type of girl. And it's not always, oh, she's like so pretty, so I will take it. No, it's not the point, right? Because sometimes you need to find someone who will aim with this image that will just glue to the screen. This someone must have this something. And then it's nice to meet these people. Actually, you know, this big disaster that happened all around the world called COVID, it also hit me hard because it killed one of my companies. But right now, if it goes to filmmaking, it helped me a lot. Because of it, we've learned as a society that we can easily communicate via Skype, FaceTime, Zoom appeared. So many applications appeared. And that's how I was meeting with these people. So I did this list, like from 1 to 10, because the time was coming. I remember it was like the end of winter, and months where, you know, this, you need to start the preparation on a big scale because we were supposed to shoot in summer. I've shortened the list like about to 300, I think. I've went with this is the number one. If she will say no, then I will jump to number two, and then number three, number four. Actually, in I think about 85% of the cast, it was always number one. Of course, I was scared to death because we've met with all of these people. We've clicked with just 5 seconds with every one of them. But I've never did this like, all right, so let's play. Let's prepare this tape for me, for this scene, and I will decide. No, with me it was just, all right, I like you. I love your style. I love what I see. Let's do it.
But was it difficult to convince them to your movie, to your name, to coming to Rzeszów, to this payment? They just agreed easily or not? And also I have a question, because you changed some sex of the characters. I mean, they were written for men, and you hired women.
Actually, yeah, from the very beginning, what was super cool, still, you must know that this is the new environment for me. I'm still trying to call myself an artist. You know? So these people are different. In this incredible way, they feel differently, they see world differently, and they just love differently. What I've been heard, they've saw someone, yeah, totally unexperienced, but with this big heart for just America cinema. I love the, I think, Yord, one of my leads, he was just saying, like, you know why I've decided to go with this movie of yours? Because you've told me, like, you will die for this movie. You will just make this movie. You will steal the money. You'll just make this movie. And you were so passionate about it that I've decided, yeah, why not? Today, take this ride with this madman, you know? So I know that the salary wasn't good, but what I also loved with these people, it was never an issue. It was never about that. I think that they saw, I wasn't even aware that I'm that kind of madman. Right now I can see myself that way, probably. But that time for me was like, yeah, we are doing this movie, like, why not, right? But right now I think this convinced them a lot. And yeah, I've had this situation that I've changed some characters. This is the story with Małgosia Klara. When I was searching for tapes, and she just appeared, and in this 5 seconds, this is good. She would fit a commander, special unit commander, which is supposed to be a man. It's like, oh, I would listen to that kind of woman if she would be my boss. And it was just that kind of decision. I've called her. It's like, hey, this is me. This is my proposition. You're just one. If you will say no, I will go back to the man if it goes to the role. And she said, yeah, I like it. I like the idea. You know, with my lead character was exactly the same. It's very hard to explain what you see. I was thinking about this for a while, actually, lately, because I remember when I did this No Stars Anymore, my lead was a blonde girl. And I always see it this way, that she will be the blonde one. Maybe also for the, like, black suit, special forces, and blonde color is pretty cool. But Andrea is a brunette. I was searching for some footage of her, and just was like, this 5 seconds, this 10 seconds, and I knew, all right, she is the one.
Did you choose your actors based on their personality traits? I mean, how much they gave to the roles from themselves.
Yeah. So I had one conversation with one actor that we didn't click. I've chosen a couple of them for the main roles, and I was connecting with them with most of the time Zoom or FaceTime and just talking. And with one just didn't work out. But with most of the actors, it was just this 5-10 seconds. And after this 5-10 seconds, I've tried to get more about them. How they not only look, but how they behave. Who are they? Also, but this is like the world that we are living in, checking their Instagram, their roles, how they communicate with people. But what I did when I've signed, I think, 7 of them, I've redone the script. So the script was ready, but I was telling them that I will change something. 10-15% of the script will be changed probably a week before the shoot. When I knew that, let's say, Andrea Vadar is the main, I was doing something different with her. Your Eli, Jack, Gosha as a commander lead. So I was changing a lot of things for them to happen, still not knowing them much. But the real magic appeared when they came. They are all very different, very unique. If it goes to human beings, very open, but also very, very talented. And what I did, I've just let them improvise, but a lot. I was actually, for the beginning, I was thinking that this is my lack of experience, my lack of knowledge. But I also was aware that, let's say, if it goes to script, the story is good, but the dialogues are not so good. Because I don't like dialogues, actually, you know, I like this Drives Gosling style, you know, just music all the time, right? But when I saw what they are doing with the script, they just started to improvise. And first, my crew was like, oh no, this wasn't a script. What are they doing? And I was like, no, look, this is so good. Let's keep it rolling. Let's see what they will bring to the table. And they were incredible. They did a lot of things changed, but also the chemistry between them, between the characters. And in this movie is very important. And still in the script, they not all of them like each other. There is this tension also. So I think that was magical. And I will always say that, yeah, maybe I'm making this movie, but they also are the very big part of making this movie how it looks like, not only by acting, but also by bringing themselves to the script, to the story, and being part of the story also.
So what about the crew? The actors are international, but the crew is from Rzeszów.
Yeah.
And also more experience than you were at the beginning.
Yeah, so still keeping to my small town, right? We don't have this film industry, but we have this, let's say, it's not called film industry. There are companies here like making commercials, video commercials, photographers, you know, that's normal stuff.
But we have workshops with Podkarpacka Commission where they actually can learn how to
make. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not experienced at all, but they are a lot. So all of these 11 people that came to this project that I was telling you about before I've met Rafał, this zero budget movies, I've all kept them. They are still with me. But thanks to Rafał, right now I can pay them. But they were like professionals, even very young ones, 20, 21, 25 years old. Some of them just started this film school. But what they have is this incredible passion for cinematography. If you are hiring someone to your company, actually you don't give a shit if he's having diploma or not. What you want is if he's good enough for the job. And it's the same here. I don't need people with diplomas. What I want is just people with heart. And I think that I found them. It was like about 65% from Rzeszów and 35% from Krakow, Warsaw. Very young people, but very talented. We did this movie with very short crew. It was like 31 of us to make that kind of, let's say, big Hollywood action movie. Yeah, in Hollywood, you need like 2,000 people, right? But in Poland, I've met with some professionals before the movie, and they told me that I need at least 150-200 people to make that kind of big movie. And we did the same with 41. And yeah, there were lots of miracles on the set, like a lot of miracles, believe me. But also, I was doing a lot of things on the set. All of these guys from crew team was doing 3 things at once. No one was like, no, I'm just a camera guy. I cannot, you know, take the chair and put it somewhere else. No, it was never like that. All of the people were incredible, hardworking. Yeah, that's why I think we've also created this incredible atmosphere on the set. After the end, we will just like simply crying like the family.
But because of their experience, did they give you any advice and have you listened to them?
Yeah, I know I have a problem with listening, you know, but no, I know what I like, I know what I want, like 100%. Let's say when we were choosing the cameras from the very beginning, I knew I wanted anamorphic lenses, I wanted Sony cameras because of the night, because of the high ISO. I know what type of image I want. I want this Hollywood image. You cannot discuss anything about music with me. I just know I will never change it. I will never agree to something else. But if it goes to everything else, I was listening to the camera guys, to the setup guys, to the lighting guys, to the sound guys. After like day or two, I've realized, all right, they just know better. So I would be stupid if I didn't listen to them. I remember actually after 3 weeks shooting, something switched. And after a month, I felt like a typical director. I lay low. I was preparing myself for shooting, not preparing everything with everyone for shooting, because everything started to work. Everyone was doing their job perfectly because they've learned how I work. They've learned what I wanted to, and I was just letting go. Yeah.
What did you learn on the set?
I've learned everything. Like, I've learned that actually my life changed, you know, I'm a different person right now. What was so cool that I feel that I've met this my people. You know, when you are not a typical, let's say, director from the film industry, and like I was telling you, for 20 years, I was just a business guy. So for everyone who, let's say, from my friends and people like, not only closest friends, but people from Rzeszów, most of them think that I'm insane, but not in this good way. It's like he's out of his mind. He will lose a lot. He won't do it. He won't make it. Right now, it was the first time in my life I've met people who understands me, that I'm not like the lone heart, lone soul. So this was very big lessons for me, and it helped me open up about my emotions, about what I want. And I've learned everything I could learn. I was just, look, I had these two ACs. They were exactly 20 years old. One, 21, the second, I think. So like kids, I'm 40, so they could be my kids even. But what I was doing, I was observing them and even asking questions. And I was simply learning from them how it's supposed to be done. And the same with lights, the same with sound, the same with lenses, the same like my DOP's work. It was just one big learn factory for me.
I also like that you said that you learned to appreciate movies in general.
Yeah, this is great. This is the biggest lesson I had, and this is the only thing that will never happen, unfortunately, to the audience, because it's impossible for them. So me, like typical audience guy, I was like, oh, I cannot watch this movie. 20 minutes, I'm done, right? You switch off. So the biggest lesson from the set for me, even right now, I'm watching the movie, and it's so bad that you are giving the score like 1 out of 10. It's so bad, but you know what? I appreciate it. I appreciate the work. I appreciate the people, everyone who was the part of the process who did this movie, because probably there are none people on this planet who wanted to make crappy movies, right? So something didn't work out, but director, the producer, the actor, everyone was like, yeah, let's make a great movie. You know, we didn't finally, but we've tried. So I've learned to appreciate, and probably it will be one of my biggest dreams that the normal audience could see. Because, you know, when you watch behind the scenes footage on like we were posting on Instagram, it was like, oh, you are having so much fun, right? Oh, it's just a party all the time, right? But it was incredible hard work. 14, 16 hours sometimes a day, day and night. We shoot most of the time at night. So, you know, you cannot sleep. We had like one day free most of the time, some days, but still sometimes weather happened, because we most of the time we were shooting outside. So pack your tents, and next day we just reshoot. So it's just 2 months of very hard work, but also before, we've spent like 5 people from my crew about like really 3-4 months had these brainstorms, you know, and it's very intense, and you just feel tired, simply tired. It's very difficult to understand.
So is there anything you are afraid of relating to this movie? Do you feel that you need to prove something to somebody, and like how serious you are taken right now?
It's not like I'm afraid of, because I was afraid before, like before the month before preparation and the first 2 weeks, I was afraid a lot. So many things needed to happen, like so many approvals, weather, health, planes, tickets, everything needed to work. But after the shoot right now, I remember what I was saying, you know, because right now I'm starting to edit this movie, and so it's the post-production. I remember what I was seeing just on the monitors, you know, it looked so good. So yeah, I was afraid that it won't look like that. Actually, also my actors were like, they were afraid if that this guy will deliver. Maybe, yeah, he's a dreamer, he's like a madman with this good way of thinking, but still, if the crew won't be as good as he would love them to be, or even he will panic, get through this whole stressful situations. Also, they were, I think, afraid. When we were shooting, it was so fluid, it was so going with the flow, just like everything worked. So I've stopped being afraid, and right now actually I'm not afraid. We are living in this world of hate, we are living in this country of hate, and there will be a lot of hate, of course it will. But hey, if you can hate Denis Villeneuve or Chris Nolan films, it's not possible that my movie won't be hated. It will be, because also we've discussed it with the crew. It's like maybe the slightly thing that I'm afraid of, that this is pretty different movie. It's not like a typical story. Like, it's not a sci-fi movie, it's not an action movie. It's like 20% sci-fi, 20% action. I would go 10% humor and 50% of drama. And it wasn't my intention. I wasn't doing like purposely, oh, I want to make this such a different movie. No, I wanted to make it normal, like Sicario, like 999, like, you know, Drive. Let's make it normal. But my mind works differently. I just see things like I'm seeing and I'm recording them. And right now, when I'm looking at this, it's still different. And the crew was saying, yeah, this is pretty different. We didn't see that kind of movie before. And this could be your biggest victory, but also big failure. If I'm afraid, I'm afraid that this will be different. But still, you know, we are having so many movies right now, and unfortunately saying, but they are like all the same, most of the time boring, it's the same. So maybe, just maybe, it's cool that our movie will be different in this good way.
So what is the movie about?
Oh, and this is the question.
Of course.
Yeah, no one can answer that, actually, because also the crew was like, actually, I don't know. if it goes to the basics, it's a story about a woman from Special Forces Unit who has predictions about the end of the world, that the world is coming to an end. This impending doom is going to, you know, kill us all, and just we will die, you know, all will die. And this is like the very basic. But I think it's also about the road that all of us sometimes have, like going through life with our thoughts, with our doubts, with our fears, or with our loves. What I can say to you is that this movie will have this inside voice narration style. It will be like the interaction with the viewer. I think I've never seen that kind of thing in movies, but still, it's not like, oh, I will be the pioneer. No. Because I saw it, and it was always said this was my inspiration for actually the first even movie, the short one, from the video game. Because I played almost all the time in video games. And there was this game a couple years ago, not much popular, but incredible. It's called Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. It's even also hard to say, what type of game is it? It's so different. It's like this third person perspective game, like Tomb Raider, but it's not a Tomb Raider. It's not an action game. It has action, but it's not. It has sci-fi, but you are so connected with the character. You go on this actually short journey, because it's a short game. But when I was playing this game, I thought to myself, like, my God, someone stole my game. Like, if I would be a game developer, I would go with exactly the same, right?
Because you don't watch many movies except the American ones.
Yes, exactly.
So what...
And British ones. I would go, they are so similar if it goes the style. So yeah, let's say English movies.
Sorry. So what would an international audience find, think, and like about your movie? And maybe how big the interest of your movie is right now?
Yeah, here in Poland it's very big. And let's say many people wait to see it, but if it goes to international, you must know where you are right now. So I know my place. I know that it's, let's say, this long road to showcase the movie is just ahead of us. So let's hope it will be big. What can audience expect? I think they can expect American way of, you know, showing the movie. I think we've shot big if it goes to locations, if it comes to these incredible shots. But I also, oh, so for me it was like, for many, many years, you know what's the biggest victory for me if it goes to movie? So when you watch a movie, I always had this with great movies. So when you finish the movie, you exit the cinema, and the first thing you do after exiting the cinema, you put your headphones on or you enter your car, and the first thing you do is play the soundtrack from the movie. This means that this movie just stayed with you, and it will probably for a while, even because of the atmosphere, maybe because of the, sometimes the plot, sometimes actor, but there is something, there was something with this movie. You just want to be still in this vibe. So this was my always number one winner. So I think that because of my love for the music also, how important it is, actually it's the most important thing for me in making movies. I think that I will be able to grab the audience and just take them for a journey, music journey also, like a big video clip. And I hope they will have a lot of time to land. It will be very, very dark if it still go to atmosphere, if it goes to music. Creepy also, but not horror. Very dark, very, very ambient, very inside themselves.
But moving?
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us about the music, because this is the thing very unique when it goes to you and shooting. You shoot with the music on.
Yes.
And listening to the music. And also, which is otherwise that normal directors do, you want the music that is already made.
Yeah.
Not the score written for you.
Yes, exactly. So I found this incredible artist. Actually, he's not only called Paleo Wolf. I've discovered that he has like a lot of projects like Scorpio 5, Mountain Keeper, Paleo Wolf, and lots of different styles. He's very dark and his music is so unique for me. Actually, it's not well known in the world, but still probably 99% of the people listening to that kind of music, normal ones, they will be depressed. But for me, this is the beauty. This is, my God, I was waiting for such a someone my whole life.
How did you find him?
Oh, it was just a coincidence. I think it was like 5 years ago via Spotify or YouTube music, because I was very, very much into dark music. First, it was very much into Vikings music, but then Vikings and ambient music. And you know, this algorithm works. You know, I need 3 seconds and I know, oh, what's this, you know? And then I've listened to all of his albums and he made tons of them. Almost every type of music he's making. I've chosen my music before. I just know what type of music I want for every scene. I've used that kind of music. I've contacted him. I've wrote, I love you. I don't know you, but I love you. And we need to make this music together. And I hope, because it's still a process, I hope that he will say yes. And we will make this music, the soundtrack together. Because I think it will be so unique. I know, let's say, right now, when you are watching my short, it's not a big, super cool movie. It's just a movie. Because it's a niche movie. It's a very indie movie. You must be probably from this film industry to understand the road that I had. All right, so this is cheap movie, but yeah, I can see, oh, this is nice, this was nice, you know, so
the story helps,
right? But what makes this, let's say, short at least big as it is the music, the atmosphere. Without this, there's nothing. So that's why I think it's so unique, and that's why I think the combination with what I wanted to give the audience, combining with the music, for me it's just 100%. I will never say that the shots are better than the music. I think no, this is the equal, this is the math, 50%, 50%. I exactly know what I want. I will also do quicker way, because I will be editing the movie on my own. So I'm editing movie and I'm also mixing the music that is ready. It's from his albums. I will mix, I will cut, I will edit, and just say, hey, if you want to change something, try, but if not, Let's stick how it is. Just please be this incredible someone who will say, yes, you can use my music and let's create a soundtrack.
But still, this is something for me important, that you are not doing a big movie clip. Music matters,
yeah,
but
no,
still
no.
The story is important,
yeah,
as well.
Story is important as well. Believe me, I've understood that. After my short, I know that my short could be like named music clip. But believe it or not, there is a lot of dialogues in my new movie. There is also a story. And when I finished writing this Rage of Stars, I knew that something's missing. So I've met the guy who extended this journey. And then after this, still like 2 months before the shoot, I've met also the another one, let's say in this professional way, he's a screenwriter, and he was like, oh, I could change a lot of things, but I wasn't like, no, you cannot change, this is my story. But I remember he changed like about 10 things, small ones, I would say max 5%, but they were so important. But I saw it like
immediately,
because he was saying, look, this scene is great, but it's not connected to anything. In a movie, it must connect, or at least it should connect with something else. So he connected the dots. He changed this 5% of situations. So the small dots, but they are connecting right now. Still, don't know if you will like the story, but there is a story, some story.
I need to ask about the scenes. Because as a fan of American movies, you have a lot of epic scenes,
yeah,
even though with a small budget, but you have helicopters, wolves running through the streets, a lot of shooting, I mean guns.
Yeah. Actually, believe it or not, but we don't shoot a lot, because this was the main thing for me. I remember when I went 20... Incredible, it was 20 years ago. So Miami Vice, Michael Mann, Miami Vice, the you know, the dark one, has 20 years right now. So I remember when I went to the cinema with like 20 of my friends, and almost no one liked this movie. They were expecting a lot of shooting, you know, pink suits, fun, jokey style. And what we've received is a very dark movie, very realistic one, and I love it. So with my movies, I will probably always will go the same way. So it's just the realistic way, it's the real deal. How it's in life, it's here. When we are, let's say, chasing the bad guy, most of the time it's couple corners, you take left, right, and then it's done, you know. You don't chase like the whole country. When you shoot, it's just 20 seconds and you're done. That's why I'm saying there's like not a lot of action, even if you can see that a lot of pointing guns. It's still, it's a movie about special forces, so they go with the guns all the time.
And which scene do you think is the most impressive?
Yeah, probably it will be, you know, this helicopter scene. We had this big helicopter scene that that the crew is trying to grab the bad guys. From the very beginning, I knew how it's supposed to look. We wanted to have like Black Hawk helicopters. We didn't manage to do it because they cost so much. And we were shooting in Poland and there's a war just nearby in Ukraine. So to get military equipment, it's almost impossible here. But still, we've hired different like police helicopters. And I think it will be pretty epic. There are so many things that I would maybe not change, but I would like love to have more. And I would love to have like 2 extra scenes like that. I just knew I have one and we afford one. I think that even like in big Hollywood, every director is saying, oh, I would love to have more, you know, of the and that, you know. So you need to acknowledge that and just say, yeah, it's how it is, and just make from this one scene as epic as it could be.
You're also not using very much CGI.
Not much, yeah, not much.
But
we
is
are...
it because of money or because of
no.
reality?
No. Still coming back to Miami Vice. For me, the biggest thing in Miami Vice, of course, beside the music, is that Michael Mann is using this, how to say, this handheld shaky camera. It makes this image like, for me, actually, it's like that you are there. It's very close. You are the main character. And it's with me, it's the same if it goes to the audience, that I just want them to feel like the real deal. So let's say we will have like a couple of plane crash. So when you see the plane crash and you never inside so close to it. So for me, it's more like to give this feeling like, what happened there? You see, it's far from here. So I don't need this close shots like plane. There's also another problem that we are living in this world right now that you cannot be mistaken if it goes to image. So when you are delivering the plane crash, it cannot be cheesy. So when you don't have that kind of budget, because face it, it's a budget, you need a lot of millions for it. So if you cannot deliver that kind of big blast, so don't deliver. So change it or deliver it differently. Don't be cheesy.
Would you change anything in your script if a big platform will ask for it?
To sell the movie?
No.
No, you cannot ask me this. No.
I did. Because how important for you is your independence? Because you're also a co-producer.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm the main producer. This is very tough for me. Like going every day further, further down the line, this could be my grave if it goes to how I want these movies to be, you know? So it could be a big advantage for you, right? Because I know 100% how I want. And I'm open to suggestions. I am, really. We can do it together. But still, at the end of the day, it must be my decision. Believe it or not, but after this short of mine, I received a pretty big offer from streaming platform that they wanted to create this movie with me, me as a director, but they wanted their own music. They will decide the final look of the film. I could even end up like, I'm a director, but half of the movie wasn't mine. I couldn't do it. Probably 99.9% of people will say, yes, let's do it. It's just big stepstone for me, right? I was thinking differently. No, what if they will not deliver? If this movie will be crap? So let's say my name was the same because I will be director. So, oh, he's just a crappy director, right? So I don't want that. So I've chosen the road that it's my way, not the highway. I'm not saying that I won't have this because look, Denis Villeneuve, Chris Nolan, Michael Mann, Neil Blomkamp, they are making incredible movies and they are still working with big Hollywood industry production people. They can deliver. So for me, probably is to meet the team, the distributors, the production people that will think the way I think. And then we can simply find a sweet spot of ours, how to make it. Because right now, if it goes to changing, I'm not much into it. I can listen, yes, and we can try, but I don't know.
So what about the next movie then?
Oh, so there's like two big projects on the way. First one is pretty cheap, but I've also never seen such a thing before. So it's a horror movie, but I've constructed this helmet to attach the cameras and sound and everything. This is the POV movie. It's just from GoPro camera. But still, why you don't need such a big cameras on your head? Well, GoPros and all these great, even like iPhones right now, can't handle low light. So I need this, let's say Sony FX3 right now. It's because extremely good for low light. I need to attach these cameras on my head.
But it's heavy.
It's heavy. Oh, it's not the camera, it's a lens, it's sound, it's batteries, it's a lot of things. But I'm doing this right now. This is a different way of filming. I was never scared in a horror movie. I've watched almost every horror movie, but I was never like really scared. But I know what scares me. So I will try to do something that scares me and 100% a half a year and you will see probably quicker than Rage of Stars because we will be streaming this on YouTube with short TV series. But what's the dream of mine, be very dependent about how Rage of Stars will do on the market. I'm almost finished writing my, let's say, biggest movie. It's a heist movie about robbing banks and stealing cars. If you can imagine the combination of Ben Affleck, The Town, 999, Drive, Sicario, Swordfish, Gone in 60 Seconds, in this very, very, very dark atmosphere, I think you will have a hit. So if, let's say, Rage of Stars will sell at least decent, we will have 100%. We've agreed with Rafał that we are giving everything, every cent that will be income we'll give for the next one. So we just want to make movies.
But still, it will be done in Rzeszów.
Yes, there is this big aim that sometimes there might be a situation that, let's say, someone will call, hey, let's dream, right? Hey, this is Hollywood, yeah? Let's come and make a movie. So, of course, I will, but if it's more realistic type of living, I love to live here. I like my life. I don't need a lot of changes. The films that I'm right now into it, I just know I can do it here. Being here, receiving the help that I'm receiving from the city even, and my friends and people here, it's also your extra budget because it's not as expensive as in other countries or cities.
So it will be still with the same crew?
Yes, I hope it will be with the same crew. And actually, I cannot think that with different one. Why? If this works so well, if you find someone that it's like you or it's very close to you, why you need to change? You know, just stick with these people who helped you receiving the dream.
So when do you think the premiere will be?
So I hope that I will finish the edit after winter. So 2024, maybe March, April. And then it's also, of course, all about the music. We will see how it will go. Hope that this will be the dream scenario with Paleo Wolf or something like that. Because if it's not, it could take some months to create the music that I love. This is the only actually obstacle that I see. So if the work with music will be on the same level as I'm editing, I'm 100% sure that March, April movie is ready. But then, you know, I don't have a distributor actually. So we'll be searching for someone who wants to help us to distribute, to sell. Because the biggest problem is that we don't want this movie in Poland only. What we want is this movie to go worldwide. And it's not about just, you know, money and fame. No, we want to make this movie as big as possible. So let's try to sell. I know it's very difficult, but let's try to sell or distribute it worldwide. So it might take a lot of time to find that someone or a couple of them to distribute.
But do you focus more on streaming platforms or cinemas?
No, actually, first of all, I'm this kind of old-fashioned, old-type guy. So for me, it's like you go to cinema. Then it should be on a streaming service. But still, you cannot be angry with streaming services because right now, thanks to them, we also probably like a smaller crews and small companies like ours and me, myself, we can do more because of them. Because the distribution of the movie is faster, it's easier, it's approachable. So the ideal situation will be theater and then streaming. But still, going to theater worldwide, I don't think it's possible. You can go worldwide in theaters, probably only with Hollywood. But still, hey, who knows? Maybe this last miracle that we need will happen, you know?
So closing it, you are the biggest dreamer.
I am a big one.
Finger crossed then.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.